Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, to Ephesians chapter 6, as we continue our sermon series in the full armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, we've been looking at the normal Christian life, which is a life of spiritual warfare. And we have heard God's specific command to be strong in Him, to put on the full armor of God, and to stand with Christ and to stand against all of Christ's enemies. The last 2 weeks we looked at the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. And this morning we look at having the proper footwear on, even gospel shoes. And so our sermon text this morning will be verse 15 of chapter 6. Give your attention to the reading of God's word as we read verses 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Having heard the word of God, what is your response?
Amen.
Dear people of God, we are bombarded with all sorts of advertisements on a daily basis in our lives, and some of those advertisements are for footwear. In fact, there seem to be so many different types of footwear which are available to us, whether it be sporting footwear, evening footwear, morning footwear, dress footwear, casual footwear, jogging footwear, and we could expand that list on and on. There seems to be a specialty shoe for almost anything and everything which you might do. Indeed, there are even outrageous shoes, every sort of color and occasion calling forth a particular type of style. But today we return back to Ephesians chapter 6, and we don't have an advertisement placed before us, but we have something that is needed by every true soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Necessary footwear which only He can provide to you. And so are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ today? Is He your Savior? Is He your all in all? Can you say with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day, that great last day? Is that your profession today, that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and He belongs to you? I trust that it is. Everyone here today, from the youngest to the oldest. And if it is, then there are necessary shoes for you to put on to stand on the Lord's side and to stand against all of Christ's enemies, even as He advances the gospel of peace, through His church to the ends of the earth. And so today we see that the Lord Himself provides the necessary footwear for the Christian soldier. The Lord provides the necessary footwear for the Christian soldier. We want to look at this in 4 points this morning as we consider Christ's provision of this necessary footwear. First, we want to ask a question. Why is footwear important to the soldier? Why is footwear important to the soldier? Well, for a soldier to march long distances, he has to have comfortable shoes. That is something which is pretty obvious, that he can be one who comes to a point of exhaustion and fatigue if his feet do hurt. And so therefore it is important that he be clad with the proper footwear in order to get from one place to the next, in order to march from here to there. Indeed, if a soldier has sore feet and has become exhausted and fatigued, he becomes an easy prey for the enemy, even easy prey to be taken captive as a prisoner of war. And so therefore, good shoes are necessary for the soldier. But he doesn't just need good shoes to give him stamina and perseverance. He also needs good shoes in order to be sure-footed in the battle. After all, if he has slippery soles on the bottom of his shoes, one slip could mean certain death before the enemy. He needs to have shoes which give him sure-footedness. He needs to have shoes which enable him to be swift, to get from one position to the next, nimble, agile. Slowness in battle spells disaster. But also he needs shoes that his feet would be protected from injury. Think about it. Your foot is a relatively small part of your body, but if your foot hurts, everything hurts. You can imagine children waking up in the middle of the night, and maybe you have to go to the bathroom at 4 a.m, and you're half asleep, and you're walking across the room, and you step on something. You step on that Lego piece, which you didn't put away before bedtime. Oh, how that hurts the foot. And you go hopping around and you can't think of anything except for that sore foot. Well, you can imagine your foot not just stubbing your toe, but stepping on a sharp rock or it being injured even with the point of a sword. And if your foot is injured, then you probably are an easy prey for the enemy. And so we can understand why footwear is important for the soldier. Important for marching, climbing, scaling, running towards, running around. Important for close combat. Important for giving up no ground. Important for stamina, sure-footedness, swiftness, and protection. But this then naturally leads us to move further in the passage. Obviously, we can understand that having good footwear as a soldier is important. But what about for the Christian soldier? What footwear does Christ provide? What footwear does Christ provide for the Christian soldier? Well, look again at verse 15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Maybe we could translate it a bit differently along these lines. And fitted the feet with the readiness of the gospel of peace. This is a perfectly legitimate way to translate it, and I think it actually helps to bring out the focus of the footwear which Christ provides for the Christian soldier. Having fitted the feet with the readiness, the preparedness, the promptness of the gospel of peace. How are you and I to understand this footwear which Christ provides? What is this footwear? Well, the feet are to be fitted with readiness or preparedness. The feet of the Christian soldier are to be fitted with readiness or preparedness. Well, readiness or preparedness for what? Readiness or preparedness for action. For action as a soldier of Christ. Well, how is it that your feet are fitted with readiness for action? Well, I think the best way to understand verse 15 is along these lines. That the gospel of peace produces readiness for action. And this readiness for action is a readiness to defend and to deliver the gospel of peace. So let me see if we can't wrap our minds around this. It starts with the gospel of peace, providing readiness for action. And this readiness for action is seen as a readiness to defend and to declare the gospel of peace. So we start with the gospel of peace, preparing us, and this preparation or preparedness or readiness is seen by our actively defending and declaring the gospel of peace to others. This, I believe, is what we see here in the footwear which Christ provides. So, if this is the case, if the gospel of peace produces readiness for action, and readiness for action is a readiness to defend and to deliver and to declare the gospel of peace, then we need to ask, what's the gospel of peace? Well, the word gospel, many of you know, most of you perhaps, simply means good news. The gospel is good news, the best news possible. And what is that good news? The good news is that there is peace with God to be enjoyed. Now that may sound not so good to you, but I hope it sounds good to you, particularly as you understand it better. You and I come into this world as ones who by nature are enemies of God. We are enemies of God because we are sold into the slavery of sin. We hate God and we want nothing to do with God. And we have gone our own way. We have pursued our own designs. We have done that which pleases us, and we have ignored and we have spit at God. And the wonder is that there is good news through God and from God, that He provides a way back into a restored relationship of peace with Him, whereby we would no longer be at war with Him, but rather that He has done all that is necessary to pave the way for peace with Him, where He is not opposed to us by His righteous judgment, and He, by His Spirit, makes us willing to lay down arms and to return unto Him in faith and repentance. How has He done this? Well, through Jesus Christ, by sending His Son to pay the price for what our sins owe, and to pave the way for reconciliation with God. This is the gospel of peace. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom you and I are chief. And this good news of Christ coming into the world to save sinners accomplishes peace with God. No longer enemies with God, but now restored friends. But the gospel of peace doesn't just secure peace with God. It also secures peace of conscience for the one who is trusting in Jesus Christ. Peace of conscience through the blood of the Savior. Satan opposes all reconciliation to God, but he also whispers in your ear that you are indeed not worthy of God's redemption, of God's salvation, of God's forgiveness. But the gospel of peace, which is rooted in the blood of Christ, which has been shed once and for all, speaks peace to our consciences, that all is satisfied, that Christ has paid it all, and that I do not have to listen to the lies of the devil. And so the gospel of peace secures peace with God, secures peace within, and secures peace with others, so that we might have unity in the body of Christ, that we might be one with each other, that we might be reconciled to one another even as we are reconciled to God. Note, it is the vertical relationship with God which is first addressed, and that then paves the way for the horizontal relationships with one another in the church, with one another in our families. And so here is the gospel of peace. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to secure peace with God, to secure peace within, and to secure peace with others. Now, if the footwear which Jesus provides is the readiness of the gospel of peace, then we need to know this gospel. We need to believe this gospel. We need to live out this gospel, and we have a desire to declare this gospel to others, that they too may come to know peace with God, peace within, and peace with one another, all secured by the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, even as he applies that work to us by the Holy Spirit. And so, you and I need to be diligent in learning the gospel of peace. We need to be diligent in believing the gospel of peace. We need to be diligent in living out the implications of the gospel of peace, ready to do so, ready to know, ready to learn, ready to believe, ready to live out, and ready to declare that gospel of peace to others. This means that every blood-bought Christian who is a soldier of Christ needs to have some confidence in being able to tell others about this great good news. That you need to have some framework by which to tell your children about the good news in Jesus Christ, to tell your coworker or your neighbor about the good news of Jesus Christ. Maybe it's as simple as memorizing John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that you're there at lunchtime with your coworker and you simply write that verse out and you say, you know, this is what God has done. God has loved the world. Now think about that, Bill. The world which is in rebellion against God. The world which would rather run from God than go to God. God has loved the world in this manner, a fallen, sinful world, in that he gave. He didn't just give a dollar to help out world hunger as if that was really going to make a dent. He gave the incalculable, valuable, eternal Son of himself. He gave him to die the death of the damned for all who will put their trust in him, so that we would not perish, but rather that we would have everlasting life. This is the best news ever. And I want you to embrace this good news just like I do. Now maybe it's not John 3:16. Maybe it's going through the Romans road. Maybe it's other passages of scripture. Maybe it's 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, which I've already quoted, that this is a faithful and this is a, how does it, I quoted it? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And again, that provides a platform for declaring the good news, which is in Jesus Christ. And note how even a verse like that places you right in the shoes of the one whom you are talking to. You're not proud and arrogant and better than the other person, but even as you quote that passage of Scripture, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, you can give your own testimony as to what Christ has done for you, the chief of sinners. And so, as we see that the Lord provides the necessary footwear for the Christian soldier, we see what footwear Christ provides. And as then we are knowing, believing, and living out the gospel of peace and declaring the gospel of peace, here our feet are secure and protected. Here our feet are sure-footed. Here our feet are steadfast and filled with stamina. Here our feet are swift and nimble to dodge and to deliver the good news to the helpless captives of the devil. And this is the footwear which the Christian soldier is to be outfitted with. So, again, as we think then about the gospel of peace producing readiness for action, and this readiness of action being a readiness to defend and declare the gospel of peace, we put on the shoes. We lace them up. Christ gives them to us so that they would be worn and used in the normal Christian life. The normal Christian life, which includes Christian warfare. This then leads to a third point. As we not only see why footwear is important for the soldier and what footwear Christ provides, but thirdly, what this footwear calls the Christian soldier to. What this footwear calls the Christian soldier to readiness. To readiness. Now, we've already talked about it to some extent, but I want to drill down a bit deeper. This footwear calls you, calls me, to readiness. Readiness for action. This means that you and I need to be ready to do good for Jesus. We wear these shoes so that we can walk in His ways. And we need to be ones who are ready to do good for Jesus. If you just turn back a page in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 8, we read the following. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God, what? Prepared. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He made us ready beforehand to walk in these ways, to do good for the Lord Jesus. And so this readiness for action includes a readiness, a preparedness to do good for the Lord Jesus Christ. But it secondly includes a readiness to give up all for the Lord Jesus. To give up all and to risk all for the Lord Jesus, no matter where He may lead us, that we must be willing to give up all. Think of what Jesus said to His disciples and says to you and me today. Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. We need to not only be ready to do good for Jesus, but we need to be ready to give up all for Jesus, ready to be those who even risk our lives for our loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a third way in which you and I need to be ready. If the gospel of peace produces readiness for action, you and I need to be ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I need to be ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is then that we will give an account of our stewardship to Him. It's in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 44 that Jesus said, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. You and I need to be ready for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, wherein we will give an account of our stewardship. We need to be eagerly ready for His return, living in light of His return, knowing that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. And so we need to be ready to do good for Jesus, ready to give up all for Jesus, ready for the return of Jesus, and then fourthly, ready to speak on behalf of Jesus. Now, we've already said this, but it bears repeating. You and I need to be ready to speak on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about our profession of faith that we profess the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We are always to be ready to speak on behalf of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think of the prophecy in Isaiah 52 verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. How beautiful are the feet of him who proclaims good news, peace, the gospel of peace. We need to be a people who are ready to speak on behalf of Jesus. The Apostle Paul, again, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, could say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. When we strap up and tie on the sandals, the shoes, the footwear of readiness, the readiness of the gospel of peace, we need to not be ashamed of the gospel, to not shirk back, but to be bold and courageous in advancing that gospel as we speak on behalf of Christ to others. We need to be doing that in our own homes. As husbands and wives are used as sanctifying influences in each other's lives, we need to be doing that in our parenting as we are raising our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ready to speak on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ to our neighbors, to our co-workers, that we need to be one who see that the preaching of the gospel by the minister is meant to equip you to extend the gospel message in every arena of your life. I've said it before, but I say it again. There are people in your lives whom I will never meet, and I will never have the opportunity to talk to the Lord Jesus Christ about. Each person here today has a sphere of influence which God, by His special providence, has placed you in. And there are people in that sphere of influence whom God would have you speak to, whom the preacher, the pastor, the minister will probably never have an opportunity to do so. And so the preaching ministry of the church is meant to equip you to go forth and to speak on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ as you have the shoes of the gospel shoes placed on. And so we need to be ready to speak on behalf of Jesus. And Satan is active to oppose in all of these areas. Christ calls you to be ready to do good for him. Satan seeks to oppose you doing any good for him. Christ calls you to give up all for him and be willing to risk all for him, and Satan says it's not worth it. Christ says that you're to be ready for his return. Satan whispers in your ear and says, that's the most irrelevant and foolish thing I can ever think of that has no bearing upon your daily life at all. Christ says you're to be ready to speak on my behalf. And Satan says, you know what that's going to bring you? That's going to bring you ridicule. People are going to make fun of you. People are going to treat you wrongly, and they are going to hurt you. It's not worth it to speak up. You just need to blend in and get along and not rock the boat. But Christ says that if you and I are going to stand with him and stand against all of his enemies, we need to have our feet shod with the preparation, the readiness of the gospel of peace. It's here that we need to, as it were, put our hands in the dirt and see how practical it is to be a Christian soldier, to lace up our boots. I'm reminded of David Brainerd. Some of you may be familiar with him. He was a missionary in the 18th century, a good friend of Jonathan Edwards. He actually died in 1747 while he was at Jonathan Edwards' house. He died of smallpox. He was a missionary to the Native American Indians in western Massachusetts, as well as in eastern New York and in eastern Pennsylvania and in New Jersey. And the Lord used him in a mighty way. For the last 2 weeks of his life, he was suffering from disease, and he knew that his days were short. And he wrote a letter to his younger brother. And in this letter, he said the following. He said, "I am heartily sorry that I have so little strength to write what I long so much to communicate to you. But let me tell you, my brother, eternity is another thing than we ordinarily take it to be when we are in a healthy state. Oh, how vast and boundless. Oh, how fixed and unalterable is eternity. Oh, of what infinite importance is it that we be prepared for eternity. I have been in a state of dying now for more than a week, and all around me have had but few days to live. I have had clear views of eternity in this sickness. I have seen the blessedness of the godly in some measure, and I have longed to share their happy state, as well as have been comfortably satisfied that through the grace of God in Jesus Christ I shall do so. But oh, what anguish is raised in my mind to think of an eternity for those who do not trust in Christ, for those who are mistaken and who bring their false hopes to the grave with them. The sight was so dreadful I could by no means bear it. My thoughts recoiled, and I said under a more affecting sense than I ever had before, who can dwell with everlasting burnings? And so I thought, could I now see my friends that I might warn them to see to it that they lay their foundation for eternity? And for you, my dear brother, I've been particularly concerned, and I have wondered why I so much neglected conversing with you about your spiritual state at our last meeting. Oh, my brother, let me then beseech you now to examine whether you are indeed a new creature in Jesus Christ and are prepared for eternity." Here was a missionary who gave of his life, died in the saddle, and yet even as he comes to the end of his life, his conscience bothers him. But have I clearly talked to my brother about the Lord? Have I clearly spoken to him about the gospel of peace? How could I have been so negligent? And he takes these last bits of his strength to write this letter to his brother, that his brother might be secure in Jesus Christ for time and for eternity. And how about you and me? Do we look at those around us? Do we see that we have not redeemed the time like we should? Well, God indeed, He stirs us today by His Word. He puts on our feet the preparation of the gospel of peace, so that we would be bold in our proclaiming Jesus Christ, speaking on His behalf. Well, I want to come to our last point this morning, as we see that the Lord Jesus provides the necessary footwear for the Christian soldier. What's the last point that I want you and me to dwell on as we close today? Well, it's this, that you need to remember something. You need to remember something. The first thing you need to remember is this, that it is Christ Himself who had His feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You want to know who had the most beautiful feet on the mountains? It was the one who was at Mount Calvary with his feet nailed to the cross. As his singular focus was to secure the salvation of his elect. The salvation of you, I trust, who are trusting in Jesus today. And he had on these shoes, this footwear. It was his delight to proclaim the good news of peace with God through his shed blood. But secondly, you need to remember that others have worn these shoes as well. Others who have followed the Master wore these shoes and they walked into your life. They walked into your life and they told you about Jesus. They weren't only ready to do good for Jesus, ready to give up all for Jesus, ready for Jesus' return. They were ready to speak for Jesus to you. You would not be here today if somebody didn't talk to you about Jesus. And this, my friends, is a reminder. A reminder that all who are soldiers in the army of Christ are called to be ready to speak. Oh, where would you be? Where would you be if your father hadn't told you about Jesus? Or your mother hadn't told you about Jesus? Where would you be if your coworker hadn't told you about Jesus? Where would you be if your coach hadn't told you about Jesus? Where would you be if your friend didn't tell you about Jesus? You see, as we come to a close, you and I need to remember Christ wore these boots and others have worn these boots in following the Master to indeed proclaim to you the good news of peace with God. And so I want you that today, to give thanks to God for those who were faithful and fearless to tell you the truth as it is in Jesus. But I also want to address the mothers here today. You mothers, you have a high calling. A high calling to be stewards of the gift of children whom God has provided to you. And you, as ones with this high calling, have such an influence upon your children for good. For everlasting good. To speak the good news of peace with God to your children, your son, your daughter. To tell them of the love of God and of the danger of sin. And I dare say that your speech to your son, to your daughter, is much more effective than my speech from this pulpit to them. Your calling and your privilege is incalculable in terms of how valuable it is in the lives of your children. And we honor you today. And God indeed uses you on a regular basis. And I want to share with you something that comes from the early 19th century from Archibald Alexander. And he says this. He said, "What is needed is a genuine and thorough reformation which must commence in our families. And to whom will belong the chief agency and the most distinguished honor in this reformation?" Now, to be sure, husbands and fathers are called to be the spiritual heads of their home, and Mr. Alexander doesn't shortchange that. But listen to what Mr. Alexander says. "To whom will belong the chief agency and the most distinguished honor of reforming the family and thereby reforming society? Undoubtedly, this privilege belongs to pious mothers. Theirs must be the hands which plant the precious seeds of the gospel. Theirs the prayers and tears which water the growing plant. Theirs the kind, seasonable, and well-adapted instructions which distill into the tender, susceptible mind like the gentle rain on the tender grass or the more imperceptible dew upon the thirsty plant. Those are not the most important lectures which are with solemn pomp delivered in schools and from pulpits, but those which flow sweetly from the affectionate lips of mothers to their docile and interested group of little ones gathered around their knees. No eloquence equals that of a sensible and pious mother. Because no impressions made by human speech are so deep and indelible. And you, dear mothers today, I ask your children, is it not so? Is it not so? Mr. Alexander goes on and he tells about a man who had forsaken Christianity. He had thrown it off and he wanted nothing more to do with Christ. He read David Hume and Voltaire and he was convinced of the foolishness of Christianity. But there was something nagging him, which he could not throw off. And it was his mother's confident, settled faith in Jesus Christ. And he couldn't explain it away. And the Lord used that to bring him home. And so Christ today, he furnishes his Christian soldiers. He furnishes them with the necessary footwear. The readiness. The preparation of the gospel of peace. May we hear him today. May we be astounded at his grace that he shares his gospel armor with us to march forth in his name and proclaim the glorious good news of peace with God. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask now that you would seal this word to our hearts. That you would draw us close to yourself through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. Encourage us all as children. Encourage the mothers here today and the fathers. And help us to tie up these gospel shoes and to wear them and to march forward proclaiming Jesus and his excellencies. We pray in his name. Amen.